when I present my body to God, it is then taken out of the sphere of the profane and placed in the holy.
In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you about the pathway to holiness. I hope that the things that I have been saying on this subject have not been too theoretical or theological for your taste. I hope that you've been able to see that holiness is a very practical, down-to-earth matter that affects everything that we do. But I don't think there's anything that is quite so helpful in learning how to walk a Christian life ourselves than looking at the lives of those who have walked this life. And one of those whose life has had a great impact in my own was an Englishwoman named Lilias Trotter. She came from a relatively high-class home, and she was very talented in painting. John Ruskin recognized her talent and gave her some lessons when she met him one time in Venice, and he was very sorry when she decided to become a missionary and give up her artist's career. Many of her friends and relatives couldn't understand why in the world someone with her talent and her possibilities in social life and marriage would turn her back on all of that and go to such a desolate, lonely place as North Africa. But that's where Lilias Trotter went. And Lilias Trotter experienced severe opposition. She was the first British missionary, I believe, in Algiers. And, of course, she was not welcomed by the Muslims. And she had very little to show after having been there for a number of years. She went home on furlough after 7 years, a very tired and exhausted missionary. And she happened to be staying for a few quiet days in a place called Morley Hall. And it was while she was there that she experienced what she described as a lovely sense of what it meant to be buried with Christ. She said it wasn't through anything that was said, as far as she could remember. It was just that the Lord himself began to open the meaning of those words to her. It means not only to be dead, crucified with Christ, but also to be buried with him, put to silence in the grave, she said. The I can't and the I can, put to silence side by side in the stillness of a grave beside him, with God's seal on the stone. And then the Lord gave her an illustration in nature, which illuminated the words that she had just begun to study. This is what she says about that. All nature here is full of such intense quietness these autumn days, a solemn stillness with the sense of the spring behind it. The dear living things are going into their graves, and one sees how the grave is a must-be. Fall into the ground and die, the word says, not upon it. The road outside our lodging is strewn with acorns, which will never come to anything because they are just lying on the ground, not in it. Nor are we to struggle into our grave, but to fall into it. Well, that lesson, I'm sure, God had taught her in order to prepare her for the blows that were going to hit her when she got back to Algiers. She was willing to be buried in the stillness of the grave, to fall into the ground and die. And sometimes that means the death of some of our hopes and ambitions. As a faithful missionary, Lilias Trotter had ambitions, desires, hopes for the people that she was working with. When she got back to what she calls her battlefield in Algiers, she wrote, it was as if the fresh tide of prayer that God had given while at home, had only served to waken the powers of darkness against us. Two of the Christian women of Algiers, poor little brides of 15 and 17, were cruelly done to death by slow-working poison. A girl convert, who had walked faithfully with Christ for some years, fell under the power of a sorceress sent by the girl's brother to live in the house on purpose to turn her. Suddenly she would have nothing to do with the missionaries. She knows all the thoughts to the bottom of my heart, and I have to do as she tells me, was all that she would say, with a look of darkness in the gray eyes that had once been bright with light. Evil drugs were used that seemed to turn the minds of the converts against those once loved and trusted, and sap the very springs of life. And Lilias Trotter says, things seem without a lift on the human side, but God keeps up our hope in him for his sequel. In the face of the bleak sky and the cold wind, four little snowdrop buds have sat for the last two or three days with their chins on the earth. And now, today, one of them has reared itself up, pure and fearless on its stalk, with all the promise of spring. Well, she struggled. She worked. Shall we say labored? Missionaries always labor, don't they? They don't work. She worked for the Lord there in North Africa for many years. And in 1907, it so happened that a group of Sunday school leaders from the United States went to visit her in Algiers. And it also so happens that one of those Sunday school leaders was my grandfather. And he took my father along with him, my father being 9 years old at the time. But I remember my father telling about the visit to Lilias Trotter's work in Algiers. And in this book of her life, it's entitled The Love That Was Stronger, when she heard that this group of Americans was coming to visit her work, and they had written ahead of time to say that they would only have 1 hour, her first thought was, what can we possibly show them? And she just had no idea how she was going to present any work to them. And then the thought came of showing them what had not been done rather than what had been done. And so what she did was to string maps up all around the courtyard of her house there in Algiers. And when the Sunday school leaders arrived, she showed them the territory that had not been covered and the few little pinpoints where she and her colleagues had been able to visit. Well, the result of that very brief visit that did string out to much longer than just 1 hour was that before that party of Americans reached Italy, going across the Mediterranean from Algiers, they had raised sufficient money to support 6 missionaries for 3 years. And when my grandfather and the others came back to this country, the Algiers Mission Band was formed and support was raised in America and workers began to come to help Lilias Trotter in her work there. She was not bragging about what we had done, but she wanted to be honest in showing them what had not been done. The book says that she was a woman of amazing attention to detail. She had great gifts of mind. She mastered Arabic in more than one of its forms. She was fluent in French, and she kept journals which recorded with delightful detail and humor the events and lessons of the day. She developed her memory and her powers of observation and a command of beautiful English, as those of you who may have read her books, Parables of the Cross or Parables of the Christ Life, which I have put on tape, will know. She used to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and pray until 4 o'clock, because those were the quietest times of the day and the times that she could be sure of being alone. When I read of someone like that, I'm tempted to say, but what can I possibly do? I can do exactly what Lilias Trotter did to begin with, present my body a living sacrifice. That is the first step to holiness. When I present my body to God, it is then taken out of the sphere of the profane and placed in the holy. Romans 12:1 tells me that it is then acceptable to God and becomes an act of spiritual worship. The pathway to holiness begins with an act of total surrender of my will and total acceptance of the will of God. And as we daily present our bodies, our time, our work, our possessions, our sufferings, daily in hidden ways which we ourselves will not be the judges of, we will be growing more like Him, more in holiness.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.